Ready? Okay. Again, hi, I'm Kelly, Love and Fantasy Addict. Also want to add intrigue artist and anorexic, love avoidant, and codependent. I'm very happy to be here tonight. It's been kind of a wonderful day. And I want to be mindful of, I don't want to like look good during this. I mean, I do because I've always wanted to look good, but I want to, you know, get into, the worst parts of me, that brought me to this program. I don't want to be afraid of them. Because what we've read in the last couple of days is that it's behind the worst parts of yourself is gold. It's where, you know, it's the insights into your personality, your being, your wonderfulness. So to no avail. I was raised in Philadelphia in the 60s. I was raised Catholic. I really didn't have a sexuality until I was probably in my 20s. My father was a colossal chauvinist and narcissist, and terribly good looking. My mother was also good looking, and I thought that I lived in Camelot, basically. I think it's important to say how I became a love addict. I hold movies responsible for most of it. I went to movies as a child often and obsessively and memorized movies and wanted to be a movie star and just, you know, really emulated that kind of energy. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be rich and skinny. And I just, that was my life. I came out when I was 24 years old. Like I said, I didn't really develop a sexuality until I was 20, and I had no idea I was gay until I left my hometown and came to Los Angeles. As I was coming out in 1991, coming out to Los Angeles, I was coming out. And, you know, that was a new, really new thing for me. And being a lesbian, it was like, I was like finding out all these new things and like, what kind of lesbian am I going to be? And I didn't really know it, but it was already sort of defined for me because I was androgynous. And, you know, I had a male side. And by the way, my pronouns are she, her. So I was basically, you know, labeled a butch. And so I sort of took on all of those qualities of a butch. And learned how to be that way from leading men in Hollywood and movies and stuff like that. So I used all of that for intrigue. And through my 20s and my 30s in Los Angeles, I went, you know, I just was in the gay scene and going to bars, picking up women successfully and unsuccessfully, and having, you know, relationships that weren't healthy. I do believe I did have one relationship that was as healthy as it could have been, and that lasted 5 years. And I didn't really have the persona of like a Casanova or a Rudy Valentino with the woman that I was with for 5 years. That was like reserved for like one night stands and and women that I knew I probably wouldn't see again. My last relationship was in 2009. That was with the woman that I was with for 5 years. And then when I got out of that relationship, I was out of relationship for like 7 years. And I was out of a relationship having no sex, hardly even flirting. And, you know, I was very anorexic. And then in 2019, I met somebody and had a sexual relationship for the very first time, really. And, you know, I was, I guess I was 51 or 52. And that ended during the pandemic. And when that ended, I experienced a withdrawal that was worse than the withdrawal I felt from the relationship that I had been in for 5 years. And this, you know, this was something else, you know, and then somebody suggested to me that I come to SLA. He had heard me share at another meeting, another 12-step meeting. And I really respected his opinion, so I came. And it's been really eye-opening. I mean, I've learned more about myself in this program than I think really in the last 10 years. Mainly because this program really hasn't allowed me to lie about things anymore. I can't be in denial about things anymore. When my relationship with the last women that I was with ended and I experienced with that withdrawal for the first time, I got into another relationship about a year later. But I had worked the steps. And I felt like I had some kind of ammunition to use in relationships now, because my relationships consisted of getting into a relationship and then letting the other person take full responsibility of everything. Me and everything else. So when I got into this other relationship, this last relationship, we were more like friends. We were friends first. And then we became lovers. But it ended. And she became a qualifier. But what I did in that relationship, I, you know, because I, like it ended, and it, I was saying that it ended because, you know, she was verbally abusive. Like my last two relationships, I mean, the one was the way it was, and then it got worse. So I went from getting into a relationship with a woman who was a fiance, she had like a husband on the way, to a woman who was in the sex industry. She was a sex worker. And I got involved with her for many different reasons. None of them really was for love. I mean, even though I was telling myself that. This relationship, I saw myself pretty much scope her out on Zoom, befriend her, find out she has a boyfriend, still stay friends with her, and then when her boyfriend and her had problems, I was there. Like, I made choices. And, you know, so my addiction was getting worse. I was becoming worse. And when it ended, you know, of course I felt really, I got much more involved with Slaw, and then, you know, I had a withdrawal with her, which was horrible. But this program has given me the desire to be healthy. I didn't care before. I could have cared less about what relationship I got into as long as I was in one. And I've had all these different ideas of, you know, all different kinds of head trips about sex and, you know, what kind of lover I want to be. And, you know, just like all stuff that, you know, you can think about later on in life, but I mean, it really doesn't matter when you're dealing with another human being. Like, I never really considered that she was a human being. I just had my mission to get her out of sex work. That was my mission. And that was like all of my self-righteous stuff from my childhood, the Catholicism and the I'm right kind of thing. And so I did succeed on some level, because, you know, I had rules about it. And but it ended, and I still think about her, like, you know, and even some days I still think that we'll be together. This is the fantasy part. I don't know. I've had a lot of luck in relationships, to the tune of, like, I've been with a lot of women that I've wanted to be with. I have not experienced a ton of rejection. So I was used to getting what I wanted. So in my mind, I say to myself, it's not a fantasy because I'll end up getting what I want anyway, which is
really, 14 minutes.
Thank you. Which is really selfish, and a lot of other things. It could be even chauvinistic, which is how my father was. I had a really good teacher on narcissism. I've had to look at my own narcissist, and, you know, when I like zoomed in on her, you know, it was voyeuristic. I watched her. She'd show up in meetings with me, and I'd be like, oh, is she there? Is she there? And, you know, and I sort of, like, really watched my behavior. Like, I really thought about it. And I thought I was sort of like a spider, honestly, where I sort of like spun a web and like waited for her to come into my web. And that's the kind of microscope that Sla is and has been for me. So what I'm looking at now is all the pretension and all of the things that's not me. This is another part of the microscope. You get to see what is and what isn't. What's really me? And I've decided that, you know, I'm not going to show up when I sober date. I'm not showing up with Rudy Valentino or Casanova or any kind of, like, butch tactic. I'm showing up as Kelly. And that's the big reveal, you know? Just me. It's just me. No pretense. No bullshit. And you know, I'm showing up in my life just so differently these days. And, you know, I just got a new sponsor. I'm working step one. And, like, my life is already, like, slowly opening up in, like, really cool ways. And some of them don't have to do with love and fantasy addiction, you know? It's like the whole picture in here. Sex and love and fantasy addiction, anorexia and intrigue, you know, I had to let go of the intrigue artist. You know, that's not really who I am. Because I can't back that up. You know, there's a line in the movie, All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise and the Coach Nickerson says, you know, you're writing, oh no, it's Top Gun. And he says, you know, you're writing checks your body can't keep. And that's pretty much what I was doing. You know, and there was a specific movie that was really kind of, I can't believe, you know, when I uncovered it in step one, I really couldn't believe how spot on it was for my fantasy addiction. I literally, like, lived a movie. And, or lived according to a movie.
1 minute.
Thank you. And movies are fantasies. You know, I mean, movies about true life things are maybe not fantasies, but I created those fantasies to deal with my upbringing and the pain that was my upbringing. My mother and father never got along. I never heard them having sex. I only saw them kiss once in a photo. I was affection starved. I needed an outlet. I needed something that comforted me that made sense, that I was the star of the show, that I, you know, could have fun with. Because there was really, it was really hard being raised with such a beautiful picture, but it was so... It was so unloving. Thank you for letting me share. I hope I said something that resonates, made you think. Have a great night.